I really think like what's going to happen today, there's going to be stuff in eternity that's going to be there because of something that's happened today. And I know these are massive things to be saying, but should we be expecting anything less on any Sunday, any time we meet? No. Like the songs that Simon has picked this morning have just like, were so glorious, weren't they? It's just like teed it up. Now we're going to hear from God. And like, I really want you to be just hoping and expecting that God's going to speak to you. And the question is, are you going to tune in? Are you going to have ears to hear? Because this is it. This is God going to be speaking. Invited by redeeming love before the throne of God above. Like, to share communion with him, to share relationship, to share prayer. And that's what we've been talking about, isn't it? Prayer. So last week, can anyone tell me what Pete spoke about? And prayer is too broad. Yeah, it was the prayer of faith, wasn't it? And can anyone remember anything from that really stuck out to you? You won't remember anything then. Oh, no, you can listen to it online. But basically, like the essence of faith is trusting God, isn't it? Trusting him. And this morning, we're going to look at something called persistence. Persistence in prayer. Now, in these Learning Together services, the temptation is for the adults to switch off and think this is just for the kids. And the kids to like kind of have a play and do whatever. But this is a Learning Together service. Like, God wants to speak to us all together as a body. So whenever I ask questions, I'm going to direct them to us all, okay? I'm not going to say kids. I'm going to say adults. I'm going to say all. So does anyone know what persistence is? Yes. Yes! You keep on going. That's excellent. Right, so let's put up on the screen some pictures. And before we do this, I just have to say a disclaimer. These aren't biblical, scriptural things. And I don't necessarily agree with all of these. We will look at what the Bible says, obviously, otherwise you should lynch me. But this is just like a kind of introduction to get you thinking. I do agree with some of them, but maybe not others. But this is just to get you thinking, okay? Right, so Paul, if you can put up... Okay. Thankfully, persistence is a great substitute for talent. Next one. And if you don't get it, you can laugh anyway, that's cool. We are made to persist. I don't agree with that fully. That's how we find out who we are. I kind of do agree with that. Next one. It's not that I'm so smart. It's just that I stay with problems longer. Einstein. Like, that has weight, doesn't it? It's like, it's not that I'm so smart. It's just like, James, you're not smart. Anyway, Einstein. Right, Einstein. Next one. So this one, have you ever seen like these weeds breaking through the ground? You're like, how did that happen? Persistence. Next thing. Next one, sorry. Many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. Thomas Edison. He had over 10,000 cracks at inventing the light bulb. 10,000! And he didn't see those as failures. He just saw them as stepping stones to breaking through. 10,000! Imagine if he'd have given up on the 9,999th time. Next one. The classic, isn't it? Yeah, the hare and the tortoise. The tortoise is just persistent. He just keeps on going. He never gives up. Next one. Persistent. Persistence. A firm or obstinate continuance in a course of action, listen, despite of difficulty or opposition. In other words, no matter what comes against me, no matter whether the circumstances are pointing completely the other way, I'm going to be stubborn, I'm going to be obstinate, and I'm going to keep on going, regardless. Next one. Winston Churchill. Aren't you glad he said this, right? Otherwise, you probably wouldn't even be sitting here. Never, never, never give up. Next one. How to keep going when everything tells you to quit. love that. How to keep going when everything tells you to quit. Next one. I love this picture, right? Because the guy on the bottom is just like one stroke away from hitting diamond or gold. And he's given up. And then the guy at the top is just like plowing on. Is he going to stop one stroke before the end? You don't know. But the point is the same as Edison said. How close are some people when they give up? Next one. Persistence is a refusal to quit. It's looking into the face of adversity and saying, I like my odds. Have any of you seen Octonauts, the children's program, right? There's this character, Quasi, and he's this pirate cat. And he's like completely awesome, and he's just like fearless, and he goes for it. And he's surrounded by these three like tentacly things at one time, and he says, three against one, just the way I like it. That's what persistence is, right? Looking into the face of adversity and saying, I like these odds. An unwillingness to move aside, believing in a cause, and being distracted by nothing. What Simon said already this morning, knowing what your mission is and not being distracted by anything else, being laser focused. Is there any more? Oh yeah, I love this. This is a quote from Spurgeon. By persistence, the snail reached the ark. Just kept on going, slide by slide, and he made it to the ark. Next one. That's it. Okay, good. So that's just like an introduction, really, to show us what different people have thought persistence is. Some of them right, maybe some of them a little bit off. But I want to ask you something. All. Have you ever really, really, really wanted something? And have you wanted that something so bad that you've asked for it over and over and over again? Has anyone got any examples of something? Yeah. A micro pig. Cool. How badly did you want that micro pig? Pretty badly, right? Yeah. How many times do you reckon you asked for that micro pig? What? Loads, yeah? You probably asked for that micro pig loads and loads of times. Anyone else ever really wanted anything? Yes. When you were asking, did you feel a bit like you were going round and round and round? No one got that, except me. Yes. How many times do you reckon you asked for that hamster, by the way?
Probably since summer to Christmas.
Wow! 6 months non-stop asking. Did you get it? Awesome. You kept on asking and you got it. Jilo.
I did pray for my wife to find the Lord and for her to ask for her sins to be forgiven.
And how many times?
Every day of the week.
Every day. And how long have you been praying for that?
5 years.
5 years. So we're going up now, right? You got your hamster. Not got it yet, but we're gonna look. You keep going. Yes.
Puppy.
Puppet or puppy?
Puppy.
Puppy. Or puppet puppy, maybe. Did you get it? Are you still asking? Of course you are. Of course you are. And the reason you're still asking is because you really, really, really want it. Jacob.
Slave robot.
A slave robot. You haven't asked me for that yet. Maybe he thinks I'm it. No, maybe he thinks. I think you think that your slave robot is mummy and daddy. Anyway, good. Well, that's good. Some good examples there. I want us to read together from scripture now in Luke 18. So turn to the book of Luke. Chapter 18. And Jesus here in Luke 18 tells us a parable. And the great thing about this parable is he tells us what the point of it is. So with lots of parables, they're left hidden. But this one, Jesus graciously tells us what it's about. So in Luke 18, and I'll start reading in verse 1. So this is about a persistent widow, a widow who kept on going. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. Listen, this is what this parable is for. It's teaching us that we should always pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You don't have to be a biblical scholar to get the point of what Jesus is saying here. What is the point of what Jesus is saying here? Don't give up in prayer. Keep going. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. Keep asking. Keep going. Until what? Until you get your answer. Keep going until you get your answer. Keep praying until something happens. And Jesus said the reason that he's told us this is so that we don't lose heart. And I know I'm stupid, but it took me ages to like kind of for the penny to drop with this. Why shouldn't we lose heart? Why does this parable like give us encouragement that we shouldn't lose heart? What? Number one, because we do. But So he's not like that evil judge. The parable isn't saying that God's like an evil judge and we have to bombard him to get us. It's contrasting the evil judge with God, saying, if this evil judge is going to do it, how much more a loving heavenly Father? But the main thing, and you're kind of doing what I did, the main thing, how does the story end? Yeah, but that's nothing to do with this. How does the story end? She gets it. She gets her answer. Her prayer's answered. That's why we shouldn't lose heart. She gets her answer. If this widow, and you've got to think about the context of the day, a widow was like on a low rung of the ladder of society. She has no right to go before the judge, really. She hasn't got anything, right? So that's on her side. It's not looking good. And then on the other side, she's asking someone who doesn't fear God, doesn't fear man, is a pretty nasty bloke. So all of those things are against her. And what is the one thing that gets her answer? Yeah! Is this sinking in? Are you getting this? All of that stuff was against her. She had no right to go to the guy. The guy was a meanie. He didn't fear God or man. And yet she still got her answer purely because she persisted. How much more is God going to listen to his chosen ones, his elect, who cry out to him day and night? How much more is a loving, caring father going to want to answer his persistent kids if you ask and ask and seek and knock, how much more? If she can get it through persistence, we can get it. We can get the answer. That's why we shouldn't lose heart. She wasn't anything special. She didn't have anything to offer, but she got it because she persisted. Now, I want to briefly look at a couple of examples from the Bible to learn more about this idea of persisting. And the first one is a bloke called Abraham in the Old Testament. Now, you can read about this in Genesis 18, but I'm just going to set the scene for you. There was this place called Sodom and Gomorrah. And in that place, they were doing very nasty things, naughty things, things that God didn't really like. And so God said that he's going to judge that place. Now, Abraham knew someone there, a relative called Lot, who was living there. And Abraham, let's go there. Let's go Genesis 18. Abraham started praying to God to relent from bringing this judgment on this city. Genesis 18. So Abraham comes before God and he says this. In verse 25 of chapter 18 of Genesis, verse 25. Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of the earth do what's just? And the Lord said, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous people, I'll spare the place. Abraham said, behold, I've undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. So he's a bit like the lady. He knows he's nothing in himself, but he's coming boldly. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. In other words, if there's 45, will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? God said, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. So Abraham is like persisting, isn't he? He's keeping on going. So Abraham said, if there's 40, and God said, okay, if there's 40, I won't do it. And he goes down and down and down. What if there's 20, 30? And then he goes to 20. And then he goes down to 10. And in verse 32, he says, let the Lord not be angry. Like, God's not getting angry, right? God isn't getting angry with Abraham. But he said, don't be angry, God. Suppose there's 10 people found there. And God says, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. And the Lord went his way when he finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. What's the one question you always end up with when you read that? I know there's probably more than one, but here's my one. Why did he stop at 10? Why did he stop at 10? He was on a roll. He was coming down and down and down. And then all of a sudden he gets to 10 and he just stops. And someone's put it like this. Abraham stopped asking before God stopped giving. It wasn't God who stopped. Abraham stopped. Imagine, it's like that picture, isn't it, of that guy. Imagine if he was just like one strike away. Lord, even if there's only one righteous person, will you spare the place? Imagine if he'd have done that. He got like a taste of it. He was persisting for a time, but then he stopped. And God ended up judging that city. So that's kind of an example of not quite there. Not quite there. He just gave up the last minute. Second example, a guy called Jacob. So let me explain briefly what's going on here in Genesis chapter 32. So Jacob and his brother have a bit of an argument and they split up, and Jacob is really, really worried what his brother's going to do. And his brother's got a really massive army, and Jacob hears that he's coming like for him with his 400 strong army, and he's bricking it basically. He's really, really scared. And so he starts crying out to God. And in Genesis chapter 32, if you can turn just a few pages over to Genesis chapter 32, Jacob starts wrestling with God. He starts doing a bit of WWF with God. Right? He's wrestling with him. Or an angel of the Lord, God, you know, some people think it's God, some people think it's an angel of the Lord. Either way, he's wrestling, he's interacting with God, like directly or indirectly, okay? And he's there, and it says in Genesis chapter 32, verse 24, Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. It's an all-night wrestling competition with God, right? And Jacob's doing this. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, in other words, Jacob wasn't giving up, Jacob was persistent, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." And this is the crux of it, right? This is the key. But Jacob said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." This is the crux of it. If you want to get serious with God, if you want to see things happening, if we want to see things happening as a church, we need to start getting serious and stop playing games, wrestle with God and say, "We're not going to leave you alone until you bless us." Now, you might think that that's arrogant and proudful, but Jesus shed his blood so we can do that. Jesus shed his blood so we can be bold before the throne of grace. And we can be like a little kid asking over and over and over and over and over again, whether it takes 6 months, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, the next generation, until God blesses us. And we will not let him go until he does that. That was the attitude of Jacob. Persistent. "I will not let you go until you bless me." And you know what happened? His brother came and met him. And instead of like smashing him up, he gave him a massive hug. Because God changed stuff. Because Jacob praying persistently changed stuff. I don't know how many books you've read about prayer, but one of the ones that like is key, I think, is E.M. Bounds, Power in Prayer. And he says this, he says, prayer, yes?
Mommy's gone.
Okay, you go and find her. Okay, you go and sit down there. Isabella doesn't care, like, what you lot think, right? She just comes up to the throne and she asks until she gets what she wants, right? That's what we need to be doing. Like, you don't care what anyone else thinks, you go and ask Dad. You go and ask Dad, and you keep asking Dad until he gives you what you want. Yeah? Right? So he said, this E.M. Bounds bloke said, prayer in its highest form assumes the attitude of a wrestler with God. Do you think of your relationship with God in that way? Like, I know it's Father, Son, but it's like, "I'm getting serious with you, God. I'm not letting you go until you do what I'm saying. I know you can hear me, and I'm getting serious. I'm not playing games anymore. I'm going to persist, and I'm going to knock on your door until you do something. I'm going to pray until something happens." Persistence is the essence of true praying. That's where the rubber hits the road. Anyone can chuck up a prayer and sound really good in a service every now and again, but it's the one who has been cracking on for years. That's the essence of what prayer is. Persistence, keeping on going. We're not truly praying in faith unless we're persistent. I know that's a strong statement, but you're not really praying in faith unless you're persisting in it. When the answer doesn't come straight away and you don't give up, you're not of the microwave meal generation where you shove your prayer in and it has to be ready in 30 seconds. You're like a slow cooker generation who is in it for the long run and is not going to let God go until he blesses you. Jacob's persistence with God caused the situation to change. Do you understand that, right? That there's situations in your life, in the life of this church, that can change if we persist in prayer. I don't know if you believe that, but believe it and persist. Third example, and I find this one incredible. Woman in Matthew chapter 15. And I'm going to read this one because Not that the others weren't incredible, but this one is mind-blowing. And this is like really going to speak to some people in here, I'm telling you. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. The faith of a Canaanite woman. Jesus went away from there, I don't know where he's been, and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." Listen, she's pleading with Jesus. What did Jesus do? He did not answer her a word. How many of you are crying out to Jesus right now to do something? And he's not answering you a word. That's biblical. That's what's happening. But what does she do? His disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away if she's crying out after us. So not only did Jesus not answer a word, but next he says this, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So first of all, Jesus doesn't answer her. And second, he says, "I haven't even come for her." Am I making this up? No, it's there in the text, right? So she's asked once, she didn't get an answer. Then she's heard Jesus say that, "I didn't even come for those who are outside the house of Israel." Would that be enough to cause most people to stop asking? I mean, she actually heard him say, "I haven't come for you." But what does she do? She came and knelt before him, verse 25, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." This is strong language. I've talked about this verse before. I haven't got time to go into it now. But he's saying no again, isn't he? Is he not? Three times now. And this woman is not giving up. This woman is not giving up. She said, "Yes, Lord." Verse 27, "Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. That's incredible. I reckon I would have given up if I heard Jesus say those things to me. But she persisted, she kept going, and she got the answer. And what did Jesus say to her? "Great is your faith." Because faith is keeping on going in prayer. Faith in prayer is keeping on going until you get the answer. She didn't take no for an answer. And Jesus said the same thing in the parable we read at the beginning. He said, "When I return, will I find faith on the earth?" Didn't he? What's that faith on the earth going to look like when he comes back? Well, it's going to look like widows knocking on God's door. It's going to look like people who have been praying for something for years and years and years and years and years, who are not going to give up until God blesses them, who are not going to give up until God answers them. That's what faith on the earth is going to look like. Can you see now how what Pete was speaking about last week and what we're looking at this week is tied? The prayer of faith is a prayer of persistence. I will not give up until you bless me. Now you might be asking the question, why doesn't God just give me what I want whenever I ask? Now I've got a great example for you, and it's from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and it's a young girl called Veruca Salt. Have any of you seen the movie? Basically, Veruca Salt just gets anything off her dad whenever she asks. She goes, "I want an Oompa Loompa." He's like, "I can't get you an Oompa Loompa, Veruca." He's like, "I want that chocolate, I want this," and he just gives her that, and she ends up as a spoiled little brat. If God just gave us everything we wanted whenever we asked, we'd end up like spoiled little brats. But he knows much better than us what's going on. But more than that, we know from James that the testing of our faith produces perseverance. And perseverance develops character. God is more concerned about who you are than what you get. He's more concerned about you becoming more the person he wants you to be and less about the gifts that he gives you. And that's why when you come into his presence and you ask for something, he's not going to give it to you straight away every time. Why? Because you're there with him. You're there with him. In that moment you're asking, you're there with him. Now, if he gives you what you want straight away, what are you going to do? You're going to rush out of his presence, go on with your busy life until you want something else and you come back into his presence. But he wants you there all the time. He wants you in his presence all the time. Listen to me. If Jacob, right, asked me for something, or Benjamin, or any of my children, and they asked me and I gave it to them, then they were gone, because I want to spend time with them, next time they ask me for something, I'm not going to give it to them. Why? Because I just want to be with them. I just want to be with them. I don't want to love me because I don't want him to love me because I give him stuff and then run away. I want him to love being with me and I want to love being with him. Yeah? It develops our character. You know this. You know this, that anything worthwhile needs to be done over time. Trained for. Effort put in. Repetitions accomplished. We see this all the time in life. The key to developing any kind of thing of substance is like a repetition. And when we ask God for things, we're there with him, spending time with him. And most of the time, the simple fact is that the prayer isn't necessarily changing God. Most of the time, it's changing us. It's changing what we're like. It's changing the type of people we are. Being in his presence, asking these things and spending time with him is actually changing us. We start to hear his voice. We start to hear his heart. We start to hear his will. And the last example has to be Jesus. See, if anybody deserved to ask God for something and just have it straight away, it would be the Son of God. But even the rules of persistence weren't bent for Jesus. God didn't say, like, you have to persist in prayer and keep asking and asking and asking, except for Jesus, because he's Jesus, and when he asks, he gets it straight away. Even Jesus had to persist in prayer. He spent whole nights in prayer. And that prepared him, and this is the other point, this prepared him to go through the Garden of Gethsemane and to the cross. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus pleaded with God, if there's any other way this can be done, then please let it be so, but not my will, but yours be done. And God didn't answer, he was silent. Jesus was silent with the woman who came to ask. God the Father was silent with Jesus in the garden. But because Jesus had persisted with God in prayer throughout his life, he knew that the silence wasn't the end. He knew that the silence wasn't God's final answer. And you need to hear this. If God isn't answering your prayers, if it feels like God isn't answering your prayers, his silence isn't the final answer. It's just a testing period. You need to trust him through that darkness, through that silence. And by that time in his life, Jesus had learned this. And that was what caused him to be able to go through the cross, come out the other side victorious, because he trusted the Father even when he didn't get an instant answer. Do you trust the Father even when you don't get an instant answer? And here's the thing. This morning, I'm going to challenge you, right? You have to prove this yourself. Have you ever not had anything that you've asked for from God? And you've kept on going. I'm going to say like week for weeks or months or years. And then God has come through and given you the answer. Have you ever had that? If you haven't had that, some people have had it. And I would encourage you to seek out those people and find them and let them encourage you. But some of you have never had that. You've never prayed for something for so long because you've given up because it didn't happen. Here's my exhortation for you. Prove God in this. Prove God in this. You have one thing. And I know that God has been saying to you even this morning that one thing that you gave up on, some of you. You need to pick it back up. And you need to pray until God answers. You need to keep on going until God answers. You know what it is. Some of you don't know what it is. So at the end, I'm going to ask you to pray to God to give you something to keep praying for until it's answered. You have to prove God in this. Otherwise, you will never know. What a catastrophe, right? To get to the end of your life. And there's a promise there from Jesus saying, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Keep knocking until I answer you. You read the parable. You hear a sermon from a crazy, annoying guy saying, keep going, keep going, keep going. And you never prove God in it. You never prove him in it. Will you do that? Will you prove him in this? Jesus is saying, keep going. Will you do it? Will you prove him? Will you keep going? Will you keep knocking? Will you keep seeking? I'm going to give you an example, and it's about myself, but it's not about me. Right, I did this challenge earlier on, and it was a long distance running, walking thing, okay? But that's not the point. The point is this. When you've been walking for about 12 hours, or it could be 15 hours, or it could be 10 hours, you hit a dark patch where you don't think you can go on, where you don't think anyone's listening, where you don't think anything's happening, where you don't think you can make it through to the end. And you hit that. Everyone does. And the only way that you know you're going to get through that is if you've been through it before. I knew that that dark patch goes away. I knew that there's an answer at the end of that dark patch. And I've seen loads and loads of people come on a training run, whatever, get to 10 hours, and they're in that dark patch. And they look over to me and they say, I can't do it. And I say the same thing every time. Yes, you can. This dark patch will fade. You will come out of the other end. I know because I've been through it. I've done it. You will get to the end. And the thing is this. Some people say, no, I won't. I don't believe you. And they drop out and they quit. And they don't do it. But others listen to you and they trust you and they go through and they prove it to themselves that that dark period did end and they came out in the end and they did it. Listen to me. I'm standing up here this afternoon telling you that your silence will end, that your dark patch will end, that if you carry on going, God will answer you. And you have the choice to believe what Scripture says, to believe what someone who's proved it says, or do it yourself. Are you going to do it? Are you going to commit this morning to that one thing, praying into it until God answers? It could be a week. It could be a year. It could be a decade. But will you keep going until God answers you? That's my exhortation to you. And I'm going to give you, right, 1 minute. Some of you like know the thing that you've been praying for that you put down already. I don't even have to say any more. Pick it back up. Pick it back up. Keep praying. Some of you are not sure. In this moment of silence right now, this is what I want you to pray. Lord, burden my heart with something from you. And I will pray for it until it happens. Some of you like aren't ready for that. That's fine. But if this has hit home, I want you to ask that. Give me one thing to pray for. And that doesn't mean you forget all your other stuff. But this one thing, I'm going to keep praying until it happens.
My wife.
You keep praying, Ame. You keep going. Never give up. And the second thing I'd like to offer you, really, the elders get together every couple of weeks and pray. If you would like us to pray anything for you, we will pray that for you until it happens. We will keep praying it for you. If you've got something like that, you take it to your GC leader or elder, and we will pray for you, and we will persist. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time this morning. Pray you'll just bless this to us and help us take on board everything that you've said. In Jesus' name, amen.